On this special edition of the Soundtrack News, we continue with part two of Dane Walker's interview with composer and audio director Steve Pardo about his company Authentic Artists and its work within the field of artificial intelligence and its potential impact in the soundtrack world. Welcome to the Soundtrack News for the week of April 18th, 2021. I'm Christopher Coleman.
And I'm Dane Walker. The Soundtrack News is a podcast that features recent news from the world of film, television, and video game music, as well as the latest details about new and upcoming soundtrack releases. In this special edition of the Soundtrack News, we have the second part of our exclusive interview with game and TV composer Steve Pardo, who also serves as the audio director for a newly announced company called Authentic Artists. Authentic Artists is involved in making AI-generated music for virtual artists that gives fans an interactive experience at controlling how that AI music sounds. As we mentioned last week, AI-generated music has begun to impact the film composing world and has become a bit of a controversial topic. Due to Steve Pardo's unique background as a composer and as a person involved with this music technology, we reached out to Steve to get his take on this subject. If you haven't listened to the first part of this interview, we'd encourage you to go back and listen to us discuss Steve's unique musical background, who Authentic Artists is, and what attracted Steve to his role in the company. In this second part, we discuss how Authentic Artists integrates the music of musicians like Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park fame into the engine that powers their AI technology, and also what kind of impact this technology can have on the soundtrack universe. In this space, when you talk about generative music and AI or artificial intelligence, I think most musicians, most composers think crappy music. You know, we think computer-derived bot chorales, or we think loop-based, you know, stuff where somebody's grabbing a loop pack and then they're slamming it together in a DAW and outputting it. And so it's like, oh, you're creating an algorithm that just makes those things work. It sounds to me like what you guys are doing when you mention generative and when you mention AI, it doesn't sound like the traditional definitions of those words. So can you give me a little background on, like, how are you using these musicians and how are these producers to get this music? How does it work?
Because I don't want to say that it's not AI or machine learning. It definitely is. It starts with that. So, yeah, let me even start, like, before the tech, because I think that's helpful, too. We have, like, two kind of types of partners that we work with. One of them is the kind of, like, creative partnership that we pair that artist with an actual virtual artist. So let's use Mike Shinoda as an example, because he's a real example, where he is on our team and a part of the revenue stream, essentially. You know, like, he's invested and financially attached to what we're doing. So his creative vision for this character, visual and audio, he has control over, right? Mike Shinoda is a musician who already does this in the real world, obviously, but he is deciding that this, having this secondary artist that is associated with himself that he has creative control over, it can be another revenue stream for him. And that's, I'm putting it in the bluntest terms. And, you know, the reason he's excited about this is because it's a new creative outlet for him. So what he's done, or what he will do, is he'll basically provide me sound packs and then, like, sample libraries, MIDI files, you know, he'll make custom stuff for us, and that all gets dropped into our system. So it's like, this is the Mike Shinoda sound pack for this character. Right. So sound design or audio production. And he can even pass me, like, mix channel strips, mastering chains, you know, presets, like synth presets, whatever he feels comfortable sharing and wants to share that would help drive the creative vision for the artist. We're hungry for that to make this work. Right. So what's amazing about that is that he can practically do that as a musician, as a producer, through his already existing workflow. He doesn't have to work within our system to make the artist work. Well, he could just work in Ableton Live, just do everything there in his happy place, in his studio, And then when he's done, he'll just send us all his stuff, and then we can get it into our system and have it be compatible.
Cool. Now that makes sense. So that's why it works as a musician. He's not stopping being a musician. He's continuing his process, his creative process.
That's right.
Working with you guys. He's just doing the things he would already be doing. He's, I've got this cool idea for a riff, lays it down, sends it to you. I've got a cool idea for a track, lays it down, sends it to you. Everything, it's all there for you.
Whatever he wants to share. And I think that we might have an artist, honestly, that is just like, hey, I want to make an artist and I don't have any time. So just here's an idea I have. But I'm not going to give you any stems. I'm not going to give you any sample libraries. I'm not going to give you anything. And we would then partner with sound designers that are not so much partners, but contractors or employees of our company. And then we would build out that library, that custom library for the artist, and the artist still maintains creative control. So they have the final say. You know what I mean? It's very similar to being in a studio, and you have an artist and you have a producer. And so the artist still has creative control over what their album's going to... Actually, it might be the other way around, depending on the relationship. But one person has creative control over the final output, and one person's actually doing the work to get it done. And with someone like Mike Shinoda, he just might want to be... He's excited about all of it, so he wants to do all of it. But the one piece that we should back up a little bit is the AI piece, because that's really important to understand. So we're founded on this idea of unlimited generative music and audience engagement. So that's powered by, new music getting composed. Every time you hit play for a new song, it's a new song, right? And so that's powered by MIDI. And this isn't a new thing, but there's two different kind of directions that AI music companies go. One of them is audio generation from scratch. Essentially, it's not raw MIDI that's driving the output. It's the actual sound that's getting, deconstructed and reconstructed from, whatever the source library was that was fed into the machine learning, engine. We start with MIDI, and we prefer that way because it's quicker. Building out a machine learning system based on MIDI is a lot easier today. And the sonic output, which is the most important part, the sonic output is much better because we can feed it into, say, Ableton Live, which is what real musicians are using today to make their albums. So our entire signal chain is as pro as any, big name producer at any big name studio, as big as it gets. And we're working with Young Guru and Mike Shinoda and, Decap and Stolen Drums, people that know what they're doing on their respective genres and production workflows to help inform us of what that should be. But then the AI itself is the trickiest part of this assignment. As you said, AI music is notorious for just being awful. And that's fine, because we have talented engineers on our team who I work with, and we've sort of built a proprietary sort of cleaner upper of that MIDI to make it sound as close to usable music that can power these artists. And I'm saying that being humble, because honestly, this stuff sounds mad good. The hip hop model sounds incredibly good. It feels almost like there's a real hip hop artist that's composed this music. It's insane. And the pop model it's basically built to have variation, so we can throw kind of any target genre at it and it'll spit it back out, and it's just dynamic and wild. But it wouldn't work unless we were cleaning it up like crazy. So we've had to do the work, manual labor work, of getting a very clean, solid library to power this stuff.
Very nice. So as a composer on TV and video games, how do you see this kind of technology impacting a traditional orchestral / hybrid / that kind of environment? Is that coming?
I think the easiest answer is no. From our perspective, we did not set out to basically take work away from composers, take gigs away from artists. That's not the point. And And when we talk about AI music, that's kind of the first question, right? Like, are you going to take work away from? And so the answer is no. Number one, because that's just not what we're trying to do. Number two, because we are way, ways away from, if I don't even think, honestly, some like tech people will say the opposite, but I'm here to, as a composer, to say like the need for humans behind the wheel for scoring or for just like real world music making is never going to go away, you know? So, and again, like even with authentic artists, we have humans behind the wheel helping shape the computer. Like it's a collaboration for all intents, for by all means, it's that. It's like, we are informing the art as it's happening. So we're just using the AI as a tool to help power that. And for scoring, having a computer, yeah, I mean, like presume they know what the director wants at any given moment, at any given frame, you know, like, unless there's AI that's actually directing as well, and there's like code being passed along this, like maybe that will happen someday. But like there's, you know, young filmmaker who needs stock music for their student film. Sure, they can go to some of these AI stock music sites that are out there and have, you know, have the website generate 2 minutes of stock backing track music. Sure, they can do that, right? They can also go to GarageBand and throw in some loops and make a little thing, and that's essentially the same like way to get stock generic music, right? That's gonna exist whether it's AI driven or not. Yeah, I encourage musicians and producers to just be open-minded to the motivations behind what these companies are trying, at least with Authentic, like what we're trying to do. And the motivations are creative curiosity and also just like being able to provide a genuine new revenue stream for real world artists looking to create in new fascinating ways. I hope we are the trendsetter in that way, that like this tech is used for good, is used to inspire and not to scare. I mean, like any like new budding technology, it's going to scare people, right? That's just the nature of the beast. Like anytime there's any new medium or any new art form or any new way to consume, it's going to scare us. So being part of a crew of people that have integrity and have creative, inspiring visions for where to take it is a good place to be.
That's awesome. Good note to finish on. Where can everybody find and follow you?
So you can find me at Steve Pardo on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me at stevepardo.com. You can also follow Skew Sound, my audio team, at Skew Sound on Twitter, as well as skewsound.com. And Authentic Artists is authentic-artists.ai.
And now for our new and upcoming soundtrack releases. First up is the Alan Howarth Collection Volume 2, which includes music from Arcade, The Beastmaster, Monsters, Battle Beyond the Stars, and The Osterman Weekend. It's being released by Dragon Domain Records. It ships in May, and it's a limited 500-copy edition, which includes both the 24-bit WAV and MP3 files, and the first 50 are autographed. Next up is Shadow and Bone, the Netflix series original soundtrack by Joseph Trapanese. It released on April 23rd, 2021, and is released by Maisie Music Publishing, and it was released on all digital platforms. Next is Yusuke, another Netflix series, which had its opening theme and end credits released, both composed by Flying Lotus of Blade Runner Blackout 2022 fame. It was released by Warp Records, but the premiere of the show is on April 29th on Netflix. You can find the opening theme and end credits on your favorite digital outlet. And lastly, an upcoming soundtrack, Domina, a Sky Atlantic original series composed by Samuel Sim, who co-composed The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance with Daniel Pemberton. The show premieres on May 14th in the UK. Thank you for listening to this special episode of the Soundtrack News. You can find all of our episodes at soundtracknews.com. And wherever you do listen to podcasts, you can find us there. We'd love for you to subscribe, leave us a review, or just give us a 5-star rating, if you would. This podcast is co-produced and co-hosted by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can follow me on Twitter at C. Coleman. And co-host and co-producer Dane Walker can be followed
at Maestro Dane. If you have soundtrack or composer-related news, you can send it to thesoundtracknews@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Soundtrack News or on Facebook.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to bringing you more news very soon.